Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We left off at 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 17. He, and that is the king that the people wanted, instead of having their creator, the God of Israel, Yahuwah, by name, to be king over them, putting off the government that he gave them, of the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And he tells them, well, this is what you're going to get if you want a king like the other nations. And so whenever a nation puts off God, this is what they get. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Anybody feel like a slave out there? And you are his, or you are the government. You belong to that ungodly government. Why, they've even given you your identity. That's right. Got the silly guy who I've seen him on the TV and the commercials, and he dares anyone to steal his identity. So he puts his government identification number on a truck and drives it around New York City, and dares anyone to steal his identity because he's selling identity protection services. And I think how sad that this man finds his identity in a number given him by the government. Now, see, I have my identity in Christ. I live and breathe and have my being in Christ Jesus. I'm sitting in heavenly places. That's my identity. And nobody can steal that from me. They can have anything else. If the government has thought in the past to give me a number, and even if I fell for it and used it, I've repented of all that. I have nothing to do with that. Nobody can steal my identity now, because my identity comes from the Creator, and I'm not giving that up. I'm not their slave, and I've given up all the things that attach me to them. And if they try to attach that to me, well, I just have to proclaim that I have repented of those things, that I am a new man, I am a new creature, all things became new, and they cannot force me. I'm supposed to have religious liberty in the land where I live, and I will stand on that religious liberty. And my religious liberty says that I do not have to accept any mark of any beast. Beast equaling government. Government issued number or identifier. That's what a mark is. It's something that identifies something. It identifies someone's property. You shall be his servants. This is all a curse. Oh, you want a king like the other nations? You're going to reject me, God says, saith the Lord. You're going to reject me from being king over you? Okay, well, you shall be his servants. This king you want, you shall be his servants. Any nation that rejects the God that created them, that created mankind, then you're going to be the servants of whatever you want to take his place, whatever government, kingdom, authority, structure, image, whatever it is, you shall be servants of it. He continues, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king. Oh, wow, you know, people are crying out today. And, you know, it's a foolish cry. They're having tea parties. Oh, tea parties. And I went to one of these tea parties. And oh, it's nice that people are getting excited, but they were getting entertained at the same time, because went to this tea party. They would not allow anyone to speak that had any substance. It was like, I hate to tell you how I characterized the tea party that I saw. There were a few good things going on there behind the scenes, but certain people were taken off the roster and not allowed to speak because their speech would not have been politically correct. See, because the slaves that are now, as the scripture here puts it, okay, you shall cry out in that day. Yes, they're crying out in this day, just like, just what he described, what would happen. People are doing it today. But the problem is they can't leave the slave mentality. How many of those are willing to walk away from their socialist security number? But they're crying out, oh, the government's spending too much money. It's taking too much from us. But let me collect my socialist security. I don't want to give that up when I get old. I want free drugs, by the way. But don't tell me where I have to go to the doctor. You know, they want to walk the fence. They want to cry about it, and they just really, that's all they want to do, just want to cry about it. Wah, wah, wah. You know what? As long as you're taking the benefits, as long as you're signed up for them, as long as you're unwilling to walk away from them, then you have nothing to cry about. That's what I have to say, because that was the mentality of most of those people. Most of those people, that's their mentality. They want to cry about it. They all want to get together and have their mutual pity party. I'm being nice there by saying, just calling it a pity party. And then they all go home and do nothing. And none of them are willing to give up anything or provide for themselves or take care of their own parents or go out and, you know, take care of their health themselves by eating right. And then when every time something goes wrong, they go wham, wham, cry to the government.
Why wasn't George Bush there to help us? Why didn't he know that we had a flood or whatever, like the people did when they had that Katrina thing? You shall cry out in that day because of your kings, which you shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. You know why he will not hear you? Because there's no repentance. You just want to blame someone for what you brought upon yourself and what you're unwilling to put off of yourself. Nevertheless, the people refused. Samuel tells them all these things are going to happen. He warns them of everything that we see happening in Tessa. It's not that far from us, is it? We understand totally what Samuel is saying. So totally, because it's all around us today. And Samuel, we have it recorded here. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Samuel saying, don't do this, because all of these terrible things are going to happen. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And that's what the people say, nay. They don't want the alternative. They don't want to take responsibility for their own lives and their own families and live under God's government, the government, self-government, family government that he set up, and the system of judges that he set up. No, they want someone to administer it all for them. Be he a king, a dictator, a president, whatever, a savior. They want a savior like the other nations. They want a God that they can worship, a God that they can touch, a God more like them. So the people said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations. We don't want to be this chosen people of God. We don't want to be God's nation, Yahudi, called by the name of God. My people are called by my name. Oh, no, we can't have that. We want to be like the other nations, that we might, if we could only be like the other nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Where did they think the king was going to get the stuff to fight their battles? Out of thin air? No, Samuel just told them. He's going to take your sons and your daughters and you. He's going to take everything he needs from you. He's going to take all your stuff. So instead of you getting your militia together and going out and fighting your battles, every man being armed and ready for the enemy, oh yes, he'll set up a standing army for you. And then you got to pay this army all the time. The army is not you anymore. It's the standing army that you're going to pay for. It's going to be your sons and daughters. And they said, what did they say? That he will fight our battles? To go before us? And fight our battles? They're thinking of this man as like a god, like this one man is going to go out there and do it all for them. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of Yahuwah. I see Samuel just going back and falling on his face and just lamenting all the words that the people told him. After all the warnings, them not understanding that no king is going to fight their battles for them. He's going to take them and force them to fight their battles. He's going to take their living to support his standing army and all of his servants and all of his pet projects and enrich all of his friends. This is how it happens when a nation turns away from our God, our Creator, from Him being king over them. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." Now, there was a man in Benjamin, a man of Benjamin, we're in Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becharoth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a godlier person than he. From his shoulders and upwards, he was higher than any of the other people. Tall, handsome, here was what the people wanted. Someone who looked good, sounded good. Continuing, verse 3, chapter 9. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses." And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." And he said to him, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we?" And the servant answered Saul again, and said, "Behold, we have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver, a quarter shekel. That will I give the man of God to tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went out to inquire of God, thus he spoke, "Come, let us go to the seer, for that is now called a prophet," was formerly called a seer. That's a parenthetical note here in 1 Samuel, for whatever purpose. Then said Saul to his servant, Well said, "Come, let us go." So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up to the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said to them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered him and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you shall straightway find him before he go up to the place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that he bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time you shall find him." And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. For now the Lord told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, Yahuwah said to him, "Behold, the man whom I spoke to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate, and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. and on whom all is all the desire of Israel, is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant, and brought them to the parlor, and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, Set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set before thee, and eat. And for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited thy people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul rose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid thy servant to pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, and poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zizah, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, so and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? So, of course, he sent his son out to look for the asses, and now his son hasn't come back, but he found the asses that they were looking for. Continuing, Then shalt thou go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet three men, going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp, before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offering, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days thou shalt tarry, till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him formerly saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, But who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him, and to his servant, Whither went ye? And he said to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spoke, he told him not. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, I have brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hands of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you, and you have this day rejected your God, whom himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Paul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And we're going to have to pick up there after a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org, and be sure to email me. I would like to hear from you. Stay tuned for the news. We'll be back.